Since Illinois Senator Barack Obama spoke at the Democratic National Convention, he can barely show his face in public without creating some kind of sensation. There are autograph seekers, gawkers, African taxi drivers shouting greetings from car windows, and veteran politicians who jostle to get next to the freshmen, knowing that wherever Obama goes, cameras are sure to follow. But step inside Obama's Senate office and you get a different glimpse of his new life. There are no books on the shelves, the walls are bare, on his desk a single picture of his wife and two daughters. It's an office that reveals how much Senator Obama has yet to do if he hopes to leave more than just the mark of celebrity on Washington.
One of the things that I think you realize when you come here is, given the complexity of the issues that are involved, you can spend 6 years here being very busy and not get anything done. And so one of our top priorities is to prioritize and figure out what can we do well when I'm a junior senator, ranked 99th in seniority in the minority party, making certain that we select one or two things that we can really have an impact on, as opposed to trying to do everything. And we're going to have to be very disciplined over the next 6 years to accomplish the things we want to accomplish.
It seems like you face a challenge there because you enter the Senate with a higher profile than many freshman senators, and it seems that the Democrats will be eager to put you in the spotlight as they try to stake out their defensive position. You have to balance that very carefully. How do you plan to do that, and how do you respond when they try to push you forward?
Well, what you have is a situation where, on the one hand, I've got a celebrity that's undeserved and a little overgrown relative to the actual power that I have in this city. And so I have to operate on two tracks. On the one hand, I have to do what every freshman senator does, which is make certain that I vote, make sure that I respond to mail, make sure that I am learning and listening and making adjustments to a new setting. I also then have this opportunity and to some degree an obligation to help frame the Democratic Party's position and the conversation that we're having in this country about the kind of America that we want. And how I balance those two obligations is difficult, but I think doable.
You come from the state of Illinois, a state which has a very large concentration of troops now deployed in Iraq. And you have spent a good deal of time, in the short time that you've been here, focusing on veterans' affairs and veterans' issues. There's one question, though. If you want to fix what's broken in the system, where is the money going to come from?
Well, this is one of the biggest issues that we face as a country, and it's one that is not going to go away anytime soon, and that is a fiscal mess that we have on our hands right now. Hopefully, one of the things that I can do while I'm here is to at least highlight some of the contradictions in the president's budget, particularly when you look at something like Veterans Affairs. I think it is unconscionable for us to stand by our troops and hoist the flag and suggest how patriotic we are at the same time as the veterans' budget is being effectively cut. And those are the kinds of things that I think when you talk to people back home, they understand.
When you talk about this here in Washington and back in Illinois at the town meetings, and when you say the president, it's one thing for the president to promote the troops or to call on Americans to support the troops while at the same time cutting their benefits. It sounds like you're calling the president a hypocrite on this issue.
Well, you know, my impression, I've had the occasion of meeting the president a couple of times. My impression is that one of the president's strengths is he's extremely sincere. And I think that he genuinely feels like he's doing the right thing. I don't think he sees hypocrisy in his actions. I think in his mind there's some consistency there. But when you talk to veterans back in Illinois who are waiting 150 or 160 days just to get their disability benefits processed because there have been no new hires in the Veterans Administration in order to process these claims, then there's a contradiction there. And if the administration is ignoring that contradiction, then I think it is not putting its money where its mouth is.
President Bush is not accustomed to passing out high praise to Democrats, but he's been very complimentary when he speaks of you, and he says that he sees you as a potential bridge between the Democrats and the Republicans. What is your relationship with President Bush, and do you see yourself playing that kind of role?
Well, I think some of that's been exaggerated. I think that President Bush doesn't give me much thought on a day-to-day basis. He's got bigger fish to fry. But I think that there is probably a sense on the part of the Republican Party here in Washington that they can work with me. I think that is helpful. I think that the Democrats are trapped in some dogmas of their own that have to be overcome.
Such as?
Well, you know, I think that when we talk about issues of mutual responsibility and how the government has to care for the vulnerable and the infirm and the aged and our children, that is not mutually exclusive with us also suggesting that individuals have to have personal responsibility and that issues of family and character and faith make an enormous difference in terms of how well this country works.
You mentioned faith. In your keynote address at the Democratic Convention, you said, "We worship an awesome God in the blue states." What role does faith play in your work here in the Senate, and what do Democrats need to do to find their voice on that issue specifically?
Well, you know, what I don't want Democrats to do is suddenly pretend like they found religion if they haven't. You know, if you think about the greatest moments of progress in our social history, when you think about Dr. King standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, when you think about Dorothy Day and the Catholic Workers Movement, when you think about the abolitionist movement, you know, what you consistently see is a wellspring of moral concern drives these movements. And you know, if the Democrats can't inspire, if they can't tap into some sense of meaning that goes beyond just dollars and cents, then it's going to be very hard for them to argue against the sort of selfishness and self-interested policies that have come to dominate our politics.
Senator Obama, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Barack Obama is the junior senator from Illinois.